You can go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it another lonely day. You can go your own way. Go your own way. Now, if you don't recognize those words spoken, you might recognize them sung. That's a pretty catchy tune. Goes something like this. You can go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it another lonely day. That's why I leave the singing to the professionals. But this song, Go Your Own Way, it's one of several hit singles by Fleetwood Mac on their 1977 album, Rumors. Rumors was critically acclaimed, also popular, won the Grammy for Album of the Year, and went on to sell over 40 million copies. That puts it in the top 10 of album sales all time, right up there with the likes of Michael Jackson, the Eagles, and Pink Floyd. Rumors was also featured on an episode of a TV series called Glee just a few years ago. I remember watching that episode with Kathy, falling in love with the songs all over again, seeing the lead character, Will Schuster, pull the album from his personal record collection, play it for his students in hopes of encouraging them, too, to sing some of those songs. And then within minutes of watching that episode, I had to hop over to my laptop, go over to eBay, and purchase a copy of my own on vinyl, a record. Suddenly, I, too, just had to have that album in my collection. And yes, Kathy and I still have and use record player on occasion. We do. There's just something special to me about listening to music on an old school record player. Perhaps, at least in that regard, we go our own way as well. The reading from Acts today tells the story of someone definitely going their own way. Saul of Tarsus. Now, before the events we heard about in Acts 9, Saul has a pretty bad reputation. I'd say it's an awful reputation. Saul's one burning desire as a young man was to find and jail, sometimes kill, early converts to Christianity. In Acts 7, we hear the story of Stephen, the first martyr in Luke's depiction of the early church in Jerusalem. Stephen was stoned to death by an angry mob. Now, some of the people who watched this stoning, they put their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. It was a sign of respect, of importance. This Saul was a pretty central character in the effort to squash out the spread and rise of the Jesus movement in those early years. In modern terms, at best, you might label Saul as something of a religious zealot. At worst, if you really think about the nature of what he was up to, perhaps a terrorist. Now, labels or no labels, based on his actions, Saul was not really any sort of role model any of us would look up to. And today we find Saul on a mission to see the high priest. Saul's hoping to convince local synagogues to allow him to arrest these early Christ followers and take them back to Damascus in chains. Now, at the time, the term Christianity wasn't used. It's a little bit early for that. The label Christian did not exist. Instead, the term followers of the way was used to describe people drawn to this early Jesus movement. Not followers of a way, followers of the way. And Saul was hoping to collect this next batch of followers of the way and haul them off in chains. But then on the road to Damascus, well, something happened. As Saul approached the city, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. Likely in shock, he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Looking to understand what was going on, Saul then asks a question. "Who are you, Lord?" The voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go to the city, and await instructions." It's pretty specific. So Paul then gets up off the ground. He realizes he is blind, and he asks for his companions to take him to Damascus. And there he waits, blind, fasting for 3 days. Not eating or drinking, just praying, awaiting what was to come. There's another main character in our story today, lesser known one, perhaps, Ananias. Now, Ananias is described as a believer. He, too, had a vision where the Lord spoke to him, calling him by name, Ananias. Now, in this vision, Ananias is giving some marching orders of his own. Go to this street, go to that house, and ask for a man named Saul. I have shown Saul a vision of his own, the Lord says, and told him you were coming to lay hands on him, to give him sight. Now, when Ananias heard this, he wasn't exactly thrilled. But Lord, he retorts, this Saul has done terrible things to believers, and he can arrest those who call on your name. Can't say I blame Ananias for this kind of response. His mission sort of sounds like a pretty dangerous one. But the Lord would have none of that. Go, the Lord says. Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to kings, to Israel, to Greeks, to the world. Perhaps not wanting to argue anymore, Ananias chooses to listen to the Lord, gets up, and finds Saul. He then lays his hands on Saul, saying, regain your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul, now healed, gets up and is baptized. Now, thinking about this story of Saul and Ananias, I can't help but be reminded of a movie from the 1990s, Sliding Doors. It was kind of popular, but I don't expect all of you to have heard of it. Now, in that movie, the main character, who's played by Gwyneth Paltrow, either catches a train or doesn't. It's those sliding doors of the train that either let her in the train or keep her out, stuck at the station. The film alternates between these two parallel universes, outlining how important this one moment of time, of train catching, is for her. As the movie unfolds, you see whether she catches the train and whether that impacts what she does for the next years, whether it impacts her job, it does, who she falls in love with, it does. Eventually, for Gwyneth, it becomes a matter of life and death for her. It's fascinating to see how these two parallel universes play out next to each other, scene by scene. Fortunately, or perhaps unfortunately, we don't have parallel universes like that playing out in our reading today. It's just one narrative, some action, some drama, a conclusion. But we do have a train-catching moment today. We actually have two of them, one for Saul, one for Ananias. After hearing the voice of the risen Christ, after finding himself now blind, Saul had a decision to make. Would he listen to this voice, the voice of Jesus, who asked him to travel to Damascus and wait for the Lord? Or would he pull a Jonah, turn around and go in the exact opposite direction? Said differently, would he catch that train to Damascus? Or, in Fleetwood Mac style, would Saul continue to go his own way? Ananias has a similar moment, a similar choice. He too heard the voice of the risen Christ, and that voice asked him to do something. Go see a man with a reputation for violence against your kind. Lay hands on this man, heal him. Would Ananias heed this voice to go, to heal, to give Saul the Holy Spirit, to baptize him? To help launch Saul's evangelistic world tour? Or would Ananias go his own way, leaving Saul blind, waiting for a train that would never arrive? These two men had some important decisions to make, decisions that have shaped how we view faith for almost 2,000 years. Now, we know the end to this story, right? It's in plain language. Both Saul and Ananias chose not to go their own way, but instead followed the way. But I think it's important, it's worth talking about what was at stake here. After Acts 9, Saul's often referred to in Scripture as Paul. This experience on the road, it changed him, so much so that the author of Acts uses a new name for him, and then the rest of biblical authors use that name as well. His choice to follow the way netted him a new identity. There's also something rather novel about Paul. He was both a Jew and a Roman citizen. Now, he used this dual citizenship to minister to both Jewish and Roman audiences. His choice to follow the way allowed him to spread the good news in ways and places that others, well, they simply couldn't. He was the right man for the job. Paul's credited with writing up to 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. That's a big chunk. That's a really big chunk. In his book called Paul, The Mind of the Apostle, best-selling author A.N. Wilson concludes that Christianity without Paul is literally nothing. Let me repeat that. Christianity without Paul is literally nothing. That's a powerful, provocative statement about the importance of this one person. It's one man, not divinity, but this one person on the birth and expansion of Christianity in our world. Now, had Paul and Ananias not caught that train, had they gone their own way, we likely wouldn't be sitting in a worship service here today. Human history, our own understanding of the divine, that would not be the same. So what happened to Saul? What happened to Ananias? Here's one way to look at it. Initially, they were singing some Fleetwood Mac. Some ancient form of "you can go your own way" was bouncing around in their cranium. Then they had a change of heart and a change of tune. Instead of Fleetwood Mac, their tune now sounded a little more like Peter Frampton. Can any of you guess what the song changed to? Ah, it's a tough one. More like Peter Frampton's song, "Show Me the Way." Oh, won't you show me the way every day? Now, going our way, that's a natural, very human thing to do. We want what's best for ourselves, what's best for our families, or at least what we think is best. We can go our own way. We really can. That option is always out there for us. And it always has been, ever since the very beginning. Adam and Eve had that option to eat or not eat of the fruit. But what do we miss out when we do go our own way? It's about 2.2 billion Christians in the world. It's a big number. It's roughly a third of the world's population. Imagine what would be possible if we too changed our tune from going our own way to being followers of the way. Jesus fed 5,000. That's miraculous. How many can we feed in the name of Christ? You heard a few numbers earlier from Soulfire's 30-hour famine about that. In the name of Christ, we can give sight to the blind, heal the sick, feed the hungry, love our neighbors, both here and abroad, as ourselves. When we follow the way, we do no less than change the world, living into the promises of our salvation. You can go your own way. You really can. But once you've walked with the risen Christ and experienced what that's like, why would you want to? Lord, I'm tired of going my own way. Lord, won't you show me, show us, the way every day? Amen.